Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible summary. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful and thankful for the time we could study your word. We pray you'd guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're going to be looking at being sure of the truth of the word of God tonight. And the point is that truth is found in Jesus alone. It seems that our culture has become less adept at determining what is true and what is not. It's in this culture of 24/7 news feeds and online opinions that masquerade as facts, it's no surprise that many Americans begin to believe conspiracy theories every time they pop up. Typically, they start with a fringe group and they're picked up by a credible source. Well, kind of. The news media, I don't know, is very credible anymore. It's hard to know what to believe with all of the opinions out there. People are confused. And when people get confused, their doubt starts to creep in. The struggle for truth is real. However, there is good news. Absolute truth does exist, and it's found in the Lord Jesus. Let me read to you from 1 John chapter 2. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for had they belonged with us, they would have remained here. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. That expression, last hour, is only used in the New Testament, and it's synonymous with the idea of the last days, the days just before the Lord Jesus returns. For the unbeliever, that's going to be a day of judgment. For the believer, the rapture comes and we're gone. And John highlights the reality of that last hour by telling us that the Antichrist is coming. Paul described the same figure in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, when he said, the man of lawlessness and the man doomed to destruction. He's going to set up himself to oppose God. And in the meantime, many Antichrists are going to come. These are individuals who are opposed to the clear teachings of Scripture, primarily the doctrine of Christ. Do we have Antichrist here now? Yes, we certainly do. The presence of these false teachers is a sign of the end times. So how do we identify these false teachers? We will know them by their commitment to falsehood and their departure from the church. In John's days, these peddlers of deception gave evidence of their real character by leaving the church. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. We see the same thing happening today. Virtually every false teacher leaves the true church and starts their own. And according to these charlatans, everyone else is getting it wrong, and they're the only ones that are getting it right. Thankfully, true believers, according to verse 20, we have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of us know the truth. This anointing is the Holy Spirit's indwelling, which all believers received at their conversion. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher, and He's the one who guides us into all truth. Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak on what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He teaches and leads us as we study the Scriptures, and we rely on the Spirit of God. We're protected from error. Now look at verse 22 in 1 John 2. Who is a liar? It's he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is an antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father too. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. John declared that every antichrist is a liar. The fact is that they are anti, they are opposed to the Lord, which means they deny the reality of who Jesus really is. And whoever denies the divinity of Jesus, that he is the Christ, the anointed one of God, ultimately denies the Father as well. To believe wrongly concerning Jesus is to believe wrongly concerning God the Father, because Jesus is God who came in the flesh. Interestingly enough, 30% of evangelicals don't believe that Jesus is God. I don't know why they use the word evangelical then. False teachers of John's day blatantly denied the truth of who Christ was. There was a group called the Gnostics and believed that the body was evil, therefore God, who is spirit, couldn't take on flesh. So according to them, Jesus really didn't come in the flesh at all. It only appeared that he did. This is a blatant denial of his incarnation, of God becoming a man. Another group taught that Jesus had a human body, but he was not Christ until the Spirit of God came on him at his baptism, and that the Spirit remained upon Jesus throughout his entire public ministry, but left just before the crucifixion, since the Spirit couldn't cause any suffering. Of course, the Bible teaches that Jesus is fully God who came in human flesh. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To deny the truth is defiance against God. Folks, Jesus is the eternal God who stepped out of eternity into time, born of a virgin, clothed in human flesh, who died on a cross and was subsequently rose from the dead. Folks, that's the gospel message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 tell us the very same thing. Eternal life is a sure promise for every believer. Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish." Let me say that again. I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one, let me put it another way, no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Here in 1 John chapter 2, he goes on to say, "As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him." Folks, our belief should translate into right living. John mentioned the return of Christ to motivate his readers into righteous living. Our attitude towards Christ's second coming says a lot about our spiritual state. John urges his readers to remain in him. Well, that poses the question, does that mean that we could walk away from the Lord? Can we lose our salvation? No! We're not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. We're told to hold on to the Christ of Scriptures, which is living for the glory of God. Sadly, many people don't have confidence because many will say, "Yeah, they say the Lord's coming back, but I don't see any evidence of it. Way back in the first century, Peter said, they will say, where is his coming? The one he promised, even since our ancestors died. Everything goes on as it was since the beginning of creation. They may not see a need to change. They want to keep on doing the routines that they have lived with, and they don't care about his return. But for the Christian, the right belief must be consistently supported by a right ethic. For by grace you've been saved, Paul said, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for them to do. Folks, the purpose and the proof of genuine salvation is what we do for the Lord. We can be sure of our salvation. We can be sure of the truth that's found in our relationship to Jesus Christ. There are many ways to be misled these days, but the truth of God's word will lead us to the one who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. And that is the Lord Jesus. Amen? All right. That ends our summary for tonight. Next week we're going to be looking at sure of victory. Folks, Sunday's coming. We're going to be having communion this Sunday, and we're looking forward to a great day in the Lord. Folks, God is good all the time. See you Sunday.